sponsored by JMR Rentals, professional digital cinema and broadcast equipment rentals in Brooklyn, New York. JMRNY.com.
Hello and welcome to No Rest for the Weekend. I'm Jason Godby, and joining me via Zoom, she is the director of the new documentary Bye Bye Tiberius, Miss Lina Sualem. Welcome, Lina. Bienvenue.
Thank you. Merci beaucoup.
Merci. That's about the extent of my French, so the rest of the interview is going to have to be in English, I'm afraid. But I saw the film. Congratulations on the film. I thought it was lovely and very, very moving. So I want to get kind of right into it. Can you, for those who haven't seen it yet or heard about it, tell us what the film is about? And I would love to know how it came to be. Like, what's the origin story of it?
So the film Bye Bye Tiberius is about four generations of Palestinian women of my family and their shared legacy of separation and how they maintain their history despite displacement and exile. And the main character in the film is my mother, who is a Palestinian actress, Hiyam Abbas, that people in the US know through Succession, as she played Marsha Roy. And so my mother left her native Palestinian village more than 30 years ago, leaving behind her mother, grandmother, and her seven sisters to pursue her dream of becoming an actress. And through the film, I take her back to the village to understand what and how the women of the family transmitted to her.
I thought it was a deeply personal film, you know, and I did have some questions about kind of the making of it and so forth. What was, at this point in life, what was kind of the impetus of, I want to make this a movie? Like, what was the inspiration behind that?
So this film is my second film. And for me, this second film is a continuation of my first film. So my first film is also a documentary called Their Algeria that was about my paternal side of the family, also family film, and that explored the story of my Algerian paternal grandparents who divorced at 8 years old. And so I filmed them after their divorce and traced back their history of immigration from Algeria to France during the French colonization of Algeria. So in my first film, I already explore the links between intimate memories, intimate path, and the collective story, and how the collective story impacts the most intimate paths. And so after doing my first film, I received a lot of interest from, you know, the international film festivals, and I traveled a lot with it. And the public was asking me a lot, are you going to do a film about your other family? Because people knew that my family and my maternal side was Palestinian, and they knew my mother as an actress, so they were asking me if I was going to do something about this story. And at the time, I felt that I couldn't do it. I didn't have the courage to do it. But little by little, thanks to the reception my first film had, it gave me strength and confidence to tackle this film. And I think I was interested in the same thing as in my first film, to focus on the intimate paths and show how much all the intimate paths add up to each other to constitute our collective memory. And in the same way, I really wanted to visibilize people that are usually stigmatized or invisibilized or marginalized and whose story is not recognized. So for me, it was really important to allow the women of my family in the film to exist fully in their own complexity and their vulnerabilities, their strength, in order to give them back their humanity and give us back our place in the world.
One of the things that caught my eye too is that you have, it's like you have home movies in this of you when you were a kid and your mom and stuff. And then you also have historical stock, footage of, the creation of Israel and all the history of that. What was the process like? How long did this take you?
So the personal footage I had before starting the film, because it's all the images that my father was filming in the 90s when we were going to my mother's native village in Galilee to visit the family. And so my father, who is an Algerian immigrant, coming from a story of already of war and displacement and colonization, I think unconsciously was filming everything as if to keep trace of stories of people that also have faced displacement and face, loss and disappearance and erasure constantly. And I think my father was also fascinated by this world of women, because the presence of the women in the family is very strong. My mother comes from a family of 10, and there are eight women and eight girls and two boys. And so we were always surrounded by these women. I think my father filmed, the folklore, the traditions that he had never seen before of this small Palestinian village. And so these archives I had since I was a young girl, but I never looked at them with an adult eye. So when I decided to make the film, I saw them in a different way. I saw the strength of these women, how much they were the bearers of our memory and our history, how much they transmitted, how much they were able to transmit values of love and forgiveness and to raise their children despite the fact that they themselves lost a lot, and how much they've been able to take decisions that influence the world around them and to lead their own path. And so I really wanted to use these images for that. And the images, the personal archives, are really a proof of an existence, And on top of that, it was really important for me to find historical archives, also to show that these are not only intimate stories, these are also the stories of all the Palestinian women, all the Palestinian men that were expelled from their cities and that have been separated from families and that have lost their belongings. But this took a long time because there is no official National Palestinian Archive. All the archives are scattered around the world. So it took a long time to look, find between national funds, between private funds, also between sometimes things that you find at people's homes. And so, of course, you're looking for images without knowing what exists. And when I actually found something, I was myself shocked to find images, as you said, of the day of what we call the Nakba, the day that the Palestinians were expelled from their homes. I found some footage of this day, of people being taken out of their homes and put on trucks and brought into refugee camps after the border. And it's as if I was saying, oh, look, yes, it's true, we exist, and this happened. As if when you hear people saying it's not true, this never happened, even if you know it did, you integrate that. So when you find an image, it becomes a proof of your existence and your story in a context of a erased story.
It's an interesting juxtaposition because you've got the historical footage along with the history of your family and old photographs. Your grandmother is in the film along with your mom, and there you see their relationship in it. I don't want to give too much away, but one of the things I also there are some very what I would consider to be personal, intimate moments in this, and these are people. This is not like you approaching subjects you don't know. These are people these are your loved ones. Was there ever a time when you're like, oh, you know what, man, turn the camera off. We shouldn't do this now, or this is too much?
The whole process was not easy. I was never stopped by the members of my family, my aunts, my grandmother. My mother always transmitted so much love to me, and they never said no, or we don't want to. They always wanted to please me, and they always wanted to transmit. But I think what was hard was more for my mother, because I was bringing her back to moments of her life that were painful and that she had put behind her, because in order to build, and become this strong woman and make these bold choices, she built a form of protection around her path. And so she doesn't look behind, she looks forward, and I make her come back. So I think what happened is, when I found that it was too hard for her to talk about some of her experiences, I stopped recording in a frontal question and answer type of dispositive. And this is when I decided to reenact some moments to allow her to enjoy the process, because what she loves to do is to act. She's an actress. So I wanted to allow her to use what she loves to do the most while reacting a moment of her life when she was younger. So while staying in the reality of our story, of the present, and of what happened.
I really appreciated those moments because she is very, very good. And she also seems to, through that process, she seems to be able to laugh at what happened. And I think some of these scenes she's acting with her, like her sisters and stuff, which is great because it gives them a chance to connect as well. One of the things that I noticed in those moments, and one thing I could sort of see people having difficulty with as filmmaker, if you were a filmmaker making this type of story, was there anybody there, like your editor or producer or somebody like that, who was helping you in terms of keeping some kind of distance? Because this is, it's not just happening to your mom, it's also happening to you. Did you have anybody to sort of keep you in check that way?
So on set, I didn't have anybody. I was myself and the cinematographer that was filming. So I was on my own on set, but I prepared this with my co-writer and my editor, who are both women from Lebanese origin. And they both contributed to the writing of the film because we didn't write, shoot, and edit in a traditional way. We wrote and then we started editing, and then I was shooting, and then we rewrote, and then we wrote again. And during the editing, the voices, the text, the scenes, then I would shoot again. So it was all a very organic collaboration between the three of us, and we really, really thought of how to construct these reenactment scenes. It wasn't something that we wanted. I didn't want them to look like an actual scene, a set. It's not, I didn't want it to be a set in the set. I wanted it to be natural, as something that came naturally, because this is how it came. It didn't come from an idea of like, oh, I want to do reenactment scene because I think it's cool. It came because I couldn't do otherwise. It was really hard for my mother to express some of her intimate feelings. And I also really wanted, she was really inspiring me as an actress. So I also wanted her to, be able to show her true self. And so for each of the scenes, I chose a particular place in which my mother lived something that really made a change for her in her path. And I chose to ask one of her sisters to be with her each time, a sister that lived this moment with her at a time. So in that way, it allows her and one of my aunts at each time to, go back into this time and place in their emotions. It allows to reactivate their memories, reactivate their emotions, and not fake a new emotion today. I really wanted them to go back to this time and space in order to convey what they might have felt at the time.
When this is all happening and your mom's kind of like reliving these moments, and she's reading from old journals, you're looking at photographs, what are you going through when you see this stuff? Was this emotional? Were you able, like, does your filmmaker brain kick in and you're like, oh, this is a great scene? Or, are you just, her daughter?
Yeah, no, it was very hard for me to actually know if things were interesting, not interesting, good or not. It was really after, during the editing process, that I had the distance to, enjoy what I was watching or not, or regret to not have done the things another way. While I was shooting, I was really focused on all the things that were transmitted to me in the moment. So, when she was reading the poems or when she was showing me something, I was really attentive to what it was to be sure to capture this moment, this spontaneous moment in which she's showing me something for the first time. She is expressing an emotion for the first time, because I knew how much hard it would be to ask her to do it again. It's everything had to be like a first time, especially with my aunts, who are not used to the camera. With my mother, of course, she's more used to it, but you know, it's always hard to bring her back to these places and for her to express herself. For example, you know, there's moments that I'm capturing that I cannot spoil now because you will see the film, but you know, a very hard, intimate family moments, and she allowed me to capture them. So I was lucky also. And of course, I was not questioning what I was doing. I just had like to film as much as possible so that I would have as much as possible to construct the film how I had imagined it. And of course, I prepared a lot before, so it's not like I came unprepared and totally surprised. The stories that were transmitted to me are stories that I knew already. I just didn't grasp the depth, didn't have all the details, and I discovered many things along the way, especially the poems that my mom was writing, some details about the stories of some of my aunts, some of my family members. So, you know, it's all like reconstituting a puzzle from which I had the bigger pieces, and I had to create bonds between all the pieces.
Now that you're an adult, you have perspective and you get to see, I think one of the rites of passages is when you get to be an adult and you see your mom and your dad as a fellow adult, and they're, it's you kind of see them on their level and you start to understand why they made certain decisions and how hard it is, kind of thing. Was your ever a moment maybe in the process of putting this all together in the edit, like did you get certain things that you hadn't gotten before about, like, did you have a new understanding, closure, those types of things?
Yeah, as you said, I think what was the most impactful for me was to, for the first time, relate to my mother from woman to woman and not only from daughter to mother. And same with my grandmother and great grandmother. It's as if I was grasping what they had lived as women. And so it's like vertigo, you know, you're opening a door of like infinite emotions that you wouldn't have expected to go through or known about some of your family members. And especially when I discovered the poems that my mom was writing. And actually, I discovered them while editing the first time with my co-writer and my editor, because I don't read Arabic and they read Arabic. So they were reading them to me, you know. So I was even discovering them not through my mother's voice, but through others' voice, because I wanted to discover them before asking my mother to tell me about them, to keep the spontaneity of the moment that she will talk to me about them. And so for me, it was incredible to access my young mother as a young girl, as a young teenager. And this was really, really impactful for me.
Have you had a chance yet to see the film with an audience?
Yes, the film has been touring for almost 6 months now. It was in Venice Film Festival in September, and Toronto, and it screened at the BFI in London, in Germany and France, I don't remember, and Canada also, and in the US. We had a premiere at Chicago and then Doc NYC. We recently had our Californian premiere at Palm Springs. And now we have the theatrical release.
What was the reaction from audiences? Can you watch the film with an audience? Have you seen, can you watch them react, or do you have to leave the room?
I watched it in the first two, three screenings in Venice and Toronto because it was the first time that we were watching it in a room with my mother. My sister came along, and it was very stressful to watch it with the audience. I was really, really stressed, and at the same time, it was really emotional for us to because we received so much warmth and so much positive reactions, you know, like, and it was kind of a relief also to just hand it out to the world, you know, after you work on a film for 6 years that is so personal. It's really a moment where you're really afraid, and at the same time, it's kind of relieving to know that, okay, the film will have its own path and now it exists outside of us and of my control. So it will have its life. And yeah, it's been great because the audiences have been very receptive in very different places, even people who don't have a link to the region, don't know anything. And especially with the actual context, it's been very hard to show the film, but at the same time, it's a way to give back humanity to all these Palestinian lives and stories that are so dehumanized and stigmatized. So it gave it a lot of resonance, and my mission became even more vital and essential to accompany the film as much as I can, to dialogue and to make our voices heard.
I have to say, I had a chance to see the film, and it's in a couple of languages I don't speak. It's about a region that I don't know a terrible a lot about, but I found it very personal and very moving, and I think it's like one of those odd things where the more specific something is, the more universal it can be. So I hope that I hope that you have success with it. Probably by the time this airs, it will be in theaters, and then I assume there's a plan to bring it to like VOD and streaming. But for those who want to know more, where can they find the film, more about it online?
So the film is distributed by Women Make Movies, a distribution in the US. It's going to be released in theater in New York at the Firehouse DCTV, in Los Angeles at Lemley Theater, Monica Film Center. And it will screen in a couple of more festivals in the US. I can't say it yet because they're not all announced, but there will be festivals in the West Coast and the East Coast and in other regions of the US. So Women Make Movies will have all the information online. And of course, the film has an Instagram page, Bye Bye Tiberias, where all the screenings are posted internationally.
Thank you so much. Merci beaucoup. Bonne chance with the film. And definitely you have an if you have another project, come on back. We'd love to talk to you again.
Thank you so much.
That's all we have time for today. Thanks so much for taking this trip down the rabbit hole. For more of our content, including our movie reviews, visit our website, norestfortheweekendpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or on YouTube, youtube.com/getbehindtherabbit. I'd like to thank my guest, Lena Suolem, and our sponsor, JMR Rentals. For Behind the Rabbit Productions, I'm Jason Godby. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.